woods wet. And it probably is for some, but thank the Lord that he's given us the victory. Amen. And the victory is ours. By the way, Jesus took the hill. He paid the price for us. But he expects nothing less from us. As you know, I've been preaching on commitment. Because we're in a time and age in the church that very few people are really committed. They come to church out of convenience, not out of commitment. You say, well, Brother Jerry, you're just going to preach that and people are going to leave. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to keep preaching commitment till Jesus comes. Because I want you to know that's what Jesus preached. He didn't say, hey, guys, if you want to follow me on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, come and follow me. He called people to total commitment. The cost of discipleship was great. By the way, whenever we get saved, we join the army of God. You're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. We serve Jesus. We are under his command. He is our commander in chief. And the Bible says here, no man worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our desire, folks, is not to please others. Our desire is to please our master, our commander, Jesus Christ. He has called us into the battlefield for the Lord, and we're going to battle till he comes. And by the way, the battle is still going on. It'll still go on until one day, thank God, he's going to throw the devil, Lucifer, that deceiver, that liar, I'm calling him out this morning, he's going to throw him into the abyss. And praise God, one day he'll be cast in the lake of fire. And he'll burn just like every other unbeliever who rejects Jesus will also. You say, oh, that's a terrible message this morning. Well, maybe we need to start preaching more about hell, and maybe that would wake us up. You don't hear much preaching on hell anymore. But last week I started a sermon. And you have an insert in your bulletin today. If you want to follow that insert, I wanted to kind of help you out. But we started looking at what the Bible speaks of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, as you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians is dealing with division in the church. Some say, hey, I'm a Apollos, I'm a Paul. And Paul says, hey, listen, I want you to know. And earlier he said, well, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you guys the way you're acting. But he said to them, he said, listen, it isn't me or Apollos. He said, one plants, one waters, but God brings increase. And then he says that there's a foundation that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I told you last week, the only foundation that we can have that'll stand true is Jesus Christ. Paul laid the foundation according to the grace of God, and he understood he did nothing apart from that grace. The foundation is the start for every believer. How do you start? By putting your faith and trust in a personal Savior and have a personal relationship with that Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want you to know you got to build on that foundation. You remember there's two types of materials you can use. You can use hay, wood, or stubble, or gold, silver, or precious stone. Now, if you had a choice, I imagine you would probably be honest today, say, hey, I'm going to take the gold, silver, precious stone. Well, let me tell you what, that's what he wants us to do. That's that which is of the spirit and not of the flesh. When the fire comes, the fire of judgment, and by the way, there will be a fire coming one day, the fire of judgment, every single believer in this room, if you're a believer, you will stand individually before the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to be standing there with your wife and you're saying, oh, Lord, if I hadn't had her, I would have done a lot better. Well, I imagine there's been a lot of wives saying, well, if I hadn't had him, I would have done a lot better. If you'd given me better children, I'd done a lot. If I'd had a better church, oh, I'm going to tell you what. When we stand before the Lord one day, excuses will mean absolutely nothing. Don't try to make them, because he's not going to listen to them. We're not going to be judged there about our sin, because our sin was covered at Calvary, praise God. Aren't you glad? Because when we got saved, when Jesus died at Calvary, he took care of our sin. Every sin that had ever been committed, every sin that was being committed, and every sin that would be committed was laid on Jesus at the cross, and we are covered. And that's the reason says Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 tell us that we're no longer in bondage to sin. We've been delivered from sin. We're no longer to yield to sin. We're to count ourselves alive unto Christ and to be dead to sin. We are those who have been delivered from the power of darkness into the power and kingdom of our dear Son, Jesus Christ. But listen to me today, church. We will be accountable for what we've done with that which we have had. I told you last week, how's that going to take place? How do we build? We build by our motives. Why do we do what we do? Excuse me. If your motive isn't of God, if you're doing it for your glory, when the fire comes at judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be burned up. You had the wrong motive when you came to church. You say, well, I'm going to come to church because you know I got to go. I'm going to give to the church that I got to give. I'm going to serve the church because I got to serve. I'm going to use my time and my talents because I got to do that. By the way, the Lord, the Bible says, everyone will appear. 2 Corinthians 5:10, appear. And that word appear there means it will all be laid bare. In other words, there'll be no pretension. There'll be no illusions. There'll be no hiding. The Lord who sees and knows all will judge you according to your works. Now follow me here. You're not saved by your works. I want to make that very clear. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a result of salvation, Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, by their fruits you shall know them. By people's fruit we can tell whether they're a believer. Do they love the church? Are they committed to the church? Or not? And by the way, you can't be half committed. You can't do that. Are they committed to the kingdom's work or not? Do they come because it's convenient? They don't have anything that weekend or not? But see, it will be judged by our motives. We'll be judged by our conduct. He said over there in 2 Corinthians 5:10, the verse that's in today, he'll say, that which is bad, worthless, it produces no gain, or that which is good. And then we build by our service, the way we use our spiritual gift or gifts to minister in his name. By the way, every believer has a spiritual gift. You're not left out. In case you wondered, you got to find out. You better start discovering what that is and get with it. But I'm going to tell you, I think the basic problem we have today is just plain commitment. And one day we'll be accountable for our commitment to this church, to the Lord, to the kingdom. We will. And you can read the Bible. I don't have to explain that to you, But you can read the Bible, it makes it very clear that that's the case. As I mentioned to you last week, and here's where I want to begin today, the Bible speaks of five crowns that will be given at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when does the judgment seat of Christ take place? I mentioned to you last week, after the church is raptured, before the tribulation. We're not going to be here during the 7 years of tribulation. I don't know about you. I'm not planning on being here. Now, if you want to be here, that's fine with me, but I'm not planning on being here. I believe God's going to deliver us from that 7 years of tribulation. You think it's bad now, read the book of Revelation chapter 5 and following, and 6 and following, and you're going to see that it is going to be horrendous. But there are five crowns that will be given. Now, I want to make very clear you understand these crowns, these stephanos, in the Greek language, are not for us to brag about. One day, we will see our Savior. And I don't know about you, I don't want to go empty-handed. I think there could be more crowns than these five crowns. There might be a crown for a great prayer warrior. There might be a crown for a teacher who not only taught, but lived what they taught. There might be a crown for a person in the church who never was recognized one time, but they were faithful in what they did in the background. Their faithfulness. But the Bible speaks of these five. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and begin with the first one on your list, the incorruptible crown of the victor's crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing there to the church at Corinth, you remember Titus had taken the book of Corinth that he had written there to the church at Corinth, and he heard about what was going on in the church, and he was trying to figure out, and he went back to Paul, and then Paul wrote a second letter to the church at Corinth, okay? But in chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is trying to help us understand that his desire is to do nothing through vainglory. His desire is, it isn't about himself, it isn't about me, it's about the kingdom. And by the way, that goes cross-grained to what our world teaches today. Follow me here, church. The world teaches us, look out for yourself. We're in a me world. And we teach our young people that too. Me, me, me. But I want you to know, that isn't what Jesus teaches. But he's saying, listen, my desire is that people would come to Christ. He says, woe to me. Verse 16, look at it there. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. By the way, folks, I say to you as your pastor, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. I do not preach the word of God every time I stand in this pulpit. I will be accountable for that one day. We're living in a world that people want to water it down. You don't need a watered-down gospel, nor a watered-down word. You need the truth, because the truth will set you free. Remember, he says, I've become all things to all men, verse 22. To the weak, because I am as weak, that I may gain the weak. And I've made all things to all men that I might by all men save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof of you. And then he begins an illustration about the Grecian games or the Grecian contest. There were two athletic events that the Greeks observed. One was the Olympic Games and the other was the Isthmian Games. The Isthmian Games, by the way, were held in Corinth. A person to participate in the Isthmian Games had to train 10 months straight before they went to the games. And then they would show up in Corinth a month before the games, and they would train every single day. Whether it be in the gymnasium or on the athletic field, they would contend, they would train themselves, they would discipline themselves, they were dedicated, they were disciplined, that they may do the very best. But may I tell you, the races were the major attraction of these games. The Apostle Paul here uses an analogy that he's used more than once. Look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore run, and now he switched from running to boxing here, catch it. Not as though uncertainly, so fight I, not as one beating the air. He said, hey, I'm not involved in shadow boxing here, folks. And we shouldn't be involved in shadow boxing either. We have a real enemy we're fighting. We need to get with it. We need to get in there. We need to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We need to fight the fight of faith. We need to keep on going on, no matter what the odds are against us. It doesn't matter how many come, how many are apart. We're going to continue to preach the word at Lane Prairie Baptist Church. If there's three people, two people, if it's just my wife, we'll show up every Sunday morning, and I'll preach to her every Sunday morning. She says, I've heard all the preaching I want out of you through the week. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe there'll be a time, and it's coming, it's on us now, that the crowd might get less and less. Because the battle will be greater and greater. May I take this apart for us this morning? The races were the major attraction. Paul uses figure of speech quite often. 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I finish my course. He understood he had a particular course to run in life. And by the way, Paul's course was not easy. He had to be disciplined. He had to be determined to receive this victor's crown, the incorruptible crown, the imperishable crown, because he went through shipwreck. He went through stones at Lystra. He was whipped 5 times, 39 times beaten. He was thrown in prison. He was in the perils of waters, in the perils of his own brethren who were after him to kill him. He was going run out of city after city. He did it. Why did he do it? For the kingdom of God. He did it because he understood that God had a course for him, and it wasn't going to be easy. Sometimes he had to run up high. Sometimes he had to run low. Sometimes he had to run here and here and here. He did whatever God called him to do, but he did it with determination and discipline. And listen, if you're going to get the incorruptible crown, the victor's crown, so must you be determined and disciplined in your life. You remember to the churches of Galatia, in Galatians 5:7, he said, you did run well. What hindered you that you should not obey the truth? The churches of Galatia started well, but what happened? They went back to their old Judaizer ways. They went back to the law. They went back to saying, hey, if you're going to be saved, you got to be circumcised. And over there, you remember Galatians 6, the Apostle Paul says, God forbid that I should glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, of whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And he says, I bear in my body the marks, the stigmata of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us, as we run the race, we will get some marks, and we ought to bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say today, folks, is this pastor will not candy coat it. I will not be a Joel Osteen who will tell you that you can be a better person if you read one of his books. The only book I recommend you read is the Word of God. Because that's the book that will change your life. Philippians 2:16, the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I don't know about you. I don't want to run in vain. I don't want to labor in vain. But I've got good news. You remember over there in 1 Corinthians 15 when Paul's writing to the church at Corinth? He says, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Aren't you glad? Everything we do in the Spirit, that which is gold, silver, and precious stone, will stand the test of the fire, and we will be rewarded accordingly, church. I believe Paul possibly also wrote the book of Hebrews, and I preached on that a while back, a couple of Sundays ago, where it says we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. Those who run, he says, all run, but only one who receives a prize. Remember, we do not compete against each other, folks. He told the church earlier, Corinth, it isn't about Apollos, it isn't about me. It's about the kingdom. But we're running against obstacles, practical and physical, spiritual obstacles that are in our way. Each Christian must run his own race, but we must run to win. God doesn't like losers or quitters. We have a lot of people quitting. We have people, and some of you might be here today, and next year at this time you might not be. But I want to challenge you not to be a quitter, be a finisher. Paul says we're to run in such a way that we may obtain. Look at here. Know ye not that they which, verse 24, run the race, run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain or win the prize. We run for Jesus, not for ourselves. We run for him. This involves, earlier I told you, our motives, our conduct, our service. How well do you run the race? Jesus will judge you one day how you've run the race. May I tell you, if you're going to do this, listen to me, church, it'll take great discipline. It'll take self-control. It'll take commitment to the Word of God. Are we committed to the Word of God today? Do we read it every day? Have we memorized it? Do we study it? Do we meditate on it? Do we hear it on a regular basis or just hear it whenever we get a chance to? Are we in the Word of God? We will be held accountable. That's a part of the race. Are we committed to this church? Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday and Wednesday night, but every time the doors are open, are we committed to this church and to the kingdom of God? This day, Sunday, is the Lord's day, not our day. He set it aside that it might be holy unto him. When we got in trouble in America is when we changed the blue laws. Now, some of you young people don't know a word of what I'm talking about. There's a time where all these stores weren't open. There's a time that people didn't sell Christmas gifts on Thanksgiving. Hello? What's happened to us? We've got caught up in the world. We're to be in the world but not of the world, church. How about your prayer time? Is it discipline? Are you running the race well there? Do you have self-control? Do you have commitment to your prayer climb? How about witnessing to the lost? When's the last time we shared with someone about Jesus? Or we encouraged someone in the Lord? How about your service to the Lord? Is it out of convenience or out of conviction? In the Ithmian Games, they received... Notice here it says, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. They're disciplined. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. What would they get when they run the race? Well, they'd have big fame throughout the whole area, but they would receive a pine wreath. Now what's going to happen to a pine? It's going to perish. It's going to be corrupt. It will be gone in a matter of time. But see, we don't run for a pine wreath. We run for the victor's crown, the Stephanos, the crown that the Lord will give to the victor, the one who has run the race. And here's the criteria, I believe, some of the criteria he's looking for. Number one, it's the person who keeps their body under control, the one who doesn't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You belong to Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His." Whoa. Are we doing that? Notice what he says here later on in the text. Verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." It, literally, you know what that word, some of your translators say, he says, "I buffet my body." Or it isn't buffet, by the way, like you're going to have at Golden Corral. Sorry, Brother Rue, for that. This isn't buffet here. But this is, the idea of this Greek word is one who hits himself in the eye. Think about this. They give themselves a black eye. They knock out their eye if necessary. They bring it under subjection that it may not, you may not serve it, but it may serve the Lord, church. Why do we serve? For ourselves? If you're serving for yourself, you need to resign today. But if you're serving for the Lord, you need to step up and you need to keep your body under control and understand that your body is the temple. It is the holy of holies that belongs to God. Not only must we keep our body in control if we're going to win the victor's crown, we must keep our mind renewed. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed," catch this, "by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In other words, how do you renew your mind? It's like a computer, folks. Do you realize that? What you put in is going to come out. If you put trash in there, trash is going to come out. If you let your children play these video games that are full of blood and guts, let's be honest, they're shooting everybody up and there's blood gushing forth and everything else. You say, "Man, I don't know why my son is so kind of, he's a little, you know, has some problems. He gets a little angry. He's dealing with some issues." Well, maybe you need to help him buffet his body. By the way, parents, we are responsible for what our children watch. In case you wonder, well, they're 14 years old. Let me tell you what, they might be 14 years old, but they're still under your roof. I don't know about your dad, but my dad said as long as I lived under his roof, I was going to follow his rules. Boy, I didn't get an amen on that one at all, hardly. Are we that weak, folks? Are we afraid to be parents? Are we afraid that we're going to run our children off? I ran away from home a couple of times. I got a whole block. Then I got hungry. It's the truth. My dad said, "See you later." You know? But I'm going to tell you something, folks. We got to keep our body under control. You got to keep your mind under control. Your mind is a computer. Fill it. Fill your computer with the Word of God. If it is full of the Word of God, it has no room for anything else. It's amazing. We have people today that don't even understand the Gospels. What are the Gospels in the Bible? But yet they can name every NFL team, every NBA team, and every statistic of every baseball player, but yet they don't know what the Gospel is. They don't know what the Pauline epistles are. They don't know what the book of Revelation is about. They don't understand the Old Testament is 39 books and the New Testament is 27 books and is written over a 1,400-year period by some 40 different authors, and it was the inspired, infallible Word of God, that God is the one. It was God breathed the Word of God. And many people don't understand the Bible they hold in their hand. Get my mic back on here. My goodness. Getting carried away. Some of you say, Brother Jerry, you just get too excited. Well, the day I quit getting excited, fire me. Because I want to be excited about Jesus. But you got to renew your mind. The best way is with the Word of God. Be careful what you put in your mind. Be careful what you watch. Remember, when I was a preschooler, we said, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, little feet, little hands. And by the way, those little feet and little hands that are next to you, they need direction. The Bible says in Psalm 127, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty warrior, so are your children of your youth. An arrow that has no direction can cause much damage. Did you hear this week about a 15-year-old that entered a convenience store and shot the lady that had six children to death? 15 years old, church. Lord, help us. If you're going to receive the victor's crown, none of us, but you keep your body under control and keep your mind renewed, you must keep your eyes on Jesus. If you're going to run this race, if you're going to win the victor's crown, let me tell you what, those guys that were running those races back then, and you see the Olympics today, they weren't looking all over the place. We have people today that are looking at this person over here and this person over here and this person over here. God's placed you in the race. You need to get in your lane. You need to start running in your lane. You need to put your eyes on Jesus, and you need to run until Jesus comes or until he calls you home. And by the way, senior adults, I'm going to speak to us. There's no retirement program. But I want to say something about our senior adults at Lane Prairie. They're faithful to God. And I appreciate them. And I realize people are going to miss church because of vacations, because of sickness. Some of our seniors, they can't come here on Sunday night because they can't see after dark. I understand that completely. But listen to me. If we're able, be faithful. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Number four, if you're going to receive the victor's crown, you must keep running no matter the cost. The sacrifice, the time. Can you imagine these people training for 10 months? They couldn't even enter unless they trained for 10 months. And these Olympians today, they'll train for years and years and years. They'll leave their mothers and fathers home and go up to wherever their coach is, and they'll train for years to do one race in the Olympics. And folks, let me tell you what. Those people will receive a gold or silver or bronze medal, but we're not looking for the gold, silver, or bronze medal. We're looking for the victor's crown, the crown that Jesus will give for everyone who ran the race bravely, everyone who ran the race with discipline and commitment, everyone who kept their body under control, kept their mind renewed, kept their eyes on Jesus, and kept running. The fifth thing, kept running, not wavering to the very end. They kept going. My dad was my hero. Some in this place got to meet my dad, because he used to come to revivals when I was pastor of First Baptist Church in Joshua, we had some great revivals. My dad, he was a bold man. He was doing a revival one time. I was a young pastor. I started pastoring when I was 26 years old. Some people thought I was too young, but you learn. You got to have a chance sometime. And he was going to come revival and said, Dad, I tell you what, I have these people that are telling me they're not going to be here for this service. They're going to be, I mean, this was back in the, folks, this is back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. Back then, we didn't have all this stuff we have today. And I had one lady said, well, Brother Jerry, I can't come to revival. I've got to go to Weight Watchers and, all this stuff. I told my dad that, and he gets up on Sunday morning, walks over there, and he says, well, I'll tell you what, I want to tell all of y'all that you need to be here every service. And that lady that's taking the Weight Watchers class this week, I hope you gain 5 pounds if you go to Weight Watchers. And back then, the pastor sat up on a pew over here. And I couldn't find enough space to crawl underneath it. And I was a lot younger then. But let me tell you what happened to that lady. Her husband got saved that week. Her husband got saved that week because they did come. But my dad gave me a book, and I close with this today. My dad gave me a book. It's called Finishing Strong. I recommend it to every man in this place. It's a book for men. If you're going to finish strong, there are certain things you're going to have to do. I've taken a group of our men through this book here at our church. But it has greatly influenced my life. Because one of the desires that all of us should have is we don't just barely finish. That we just aren't saved as by fire, as 1 Corinthians says, chapter 3. We'll be saved, but as by fire, we'll slip under the door. But one day we'll stand before the Lord and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have run the race with discipline and determination. You kept your body under subjection. You renewed your mind. You committed your life to Christ. You ran well. You were disciplined, determined. Here is the crown of life, the victor's crown for you, because you've been faithful. Now, I told you, church, that crown isn't for us to walk around heaven telling everybody how wonderful we are. We have enough of that going on today. The crown is for us when we see our Savior. Revelation chapter 4 says the 24 elders, they took their crowns and they cast them at the feet of Jesus. There's an old song we used to sing. I'm not going to sing it, so don't get nervous. I was thinking about it until I preached this morning. Preach my voice out. My wife's over there saying, thank God. It goes like this. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. We don't hear these verses often. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest cares. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And the last verse says, life's day will soon be o'er. By the way, folks, we're not going to be here very much longer. You better get ready. All storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. But it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. See, just one glimpse of his dear face, all that sorrow that we've had will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. For some today, you haven't even entered the race. How you enter it? By having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to come down here to the front this morning, take a pastor by the hand, say, Pastor, I need Jesus. You might have him in your head, but you don't have him in your heart. The difference is between heaven and hell, by the way. You must have him in your heart. It isn't about religion. It's not about good works. It's not about baptism. It's not about any of those things. It's about knowing Jesus and understanding you're a sinner. You can't save yourself, but Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You need to come to Jesus. Others here today, maybe this is the church God wants you to be a part of. You've been visiting here. God's called you to this church. I invite you to come today. Join this church. Be a part of this fellowship. But maybe there are some here today, just be honest and say, you know what? I haven't been running very well. I need to step it up. I don't need to step it up because Brother Jerry said so. But I need to step it up because that's what God's word says. Because when I stand before the Lord, I want to receive the victor's crown. The incorruptible crown. I want to run the race. And I want to finish strong. By the way, it's not too late to get back in the race. If you're sitting down, get back up. If you got your eyes off Jesus, put them back on there. Bring your body under subjection. Bring your mind under control. Renew it every day. Make a commitment to keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's bow. Father, I thank you for your word.